Announcing from every hilltop, the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Take a moment now and join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, so very grateful you've tuned in today to this Thursday session of Abounding Grace Radio. We are concluding our study here in John chapter 19 today, where Jesus is going to the cross, his passion, his death, and the things that he has suffered. And I left off yesterday with something here, the shame of which is so terrible, we've been nervous to proclaim it. In fact, it may be shocking to proclaim it. I had one time a visiting pastor preach on this text, and it was so shocking when he spoke of it. Actually, what happened, people were troubled, and we should be troubled. This is a terrible thing that happened to our Lord. Verse 23, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Remember, the tunic is the undergarment. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. The shame here, shown to the world, they strip him naked and bare. And he has to feel the shame of complete and total nakedness on the cross in front of everyone. This is what Roman executions did. When they crucified, they did it in the nude. It was meant to totally humiliate and totally shame the victim. There's a deeper meaning to this, isn't there? You ever thought about why we wear clothes? Before Adam and Eve sinned, what do we read? The man and his wife were naked and they felt no shame. After they sinned, what happened? The first thing that happened, they became aware of their sin and their eyes were opened. And the first thing they did was they run and they tried to cover that shame with fig leaves. They made their own clothing. Did you ever think that the clothing we wear is a result of the fall? And that the outward physical experience of covering your nakedness so your neighbor doesn't see it, and knowing that the shame is involved in nakedness, is demonstrating the overarching problem that we are all desperately trying to cover our shame before God. In other words, we cover ourselves to hide things. That's just our society, isn't it? And that's why we love uncovering somebody else's sin. That's why in political things, we love uncovering past so that we can try to shame them. Well, the same is really true spiritually. We are good at covering. Remember what God did for Adam and Eve? He did something beautiful. For Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. He shed blood. The only way you get tunics of skin is to shed blood in the garden. Without the blood, there's no remission of sins, without the shedding of it. God did that. He covered them with skins to show that he himself would provide from his own resources the covering and propitiate his wrath. So what does that mean? You know, judgment in the Bible is often represented as the Lord uncovering and making bare one's nakedness, making them poor, exposing them, not just physically, but spiritually. Job did this. He complains in Job 22:6, you strip men of their clothing, leaving them naked. Do you see what's happened here? Adam and Eve from the beginning were clothed only because it anticipated that Jesus would be stripped for us. He is taking on the full measure of the shame that we deserve. He gave up everything. He had no place to lay his head. He took on our sins, dealing with that shame in order to make us rich, stripped of all of his dignity. What a thought, isn't it? He who had no sin, and yet he became sin for us. He became naked, open before the judgment seat, without a covering. That's the picture here. Jesus stood before God, dealing with our sins, having to face that wrath. in his naked body, picturing that he faced the wrath of God open in his soul, the shame of that he took upon himself. And how, dear listener, he was able. I want you to think about it. That fifth piece, that tunic, we're shocked. It's a seamless tunic woven from top to bottom. The astute listeners to any of the Old Testament prophecies and everything the Old Testament foreshadowed will remember that the priests had to wear this, a seamless tunic, undergarment. This, when it was uncovered, showed that Jesus was a priest. He had no sin. He was completely righteous. Do you see what the cross declares about him? He was the prophet, announcing that he had come to die, carrying his own wood for the sacrifice. Over his head read the sign, King of the Jews. And now he's stripped of his nakedness, stripped of that seamless tunic to show that he was a priest. He had the ability to pay for our sin because he is the perfect high priest who, by the power of his indestructible life, pays for our sin. John wants your mouth to drop, dear listener. All of this was done as a fulfillment of Psalm 22, which describes the horrors of what Jesus endured. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, and am not silent. But I'm a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue clings to my jaws. You've brought me to the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. That, Psalm 22, was all about Jesus. Jesus did this, dear listener, to assure that all who believe in him are covered with his righteousness so that we never have to face that shame. But one more thing is emphasized here. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. The final cry, I thirst. Jesus, you know, spoke of hell being a place that the torments of hell, the fire would never be quenched. You know what he's announcing from the cross? That the horrid torments of hell he was receiving in his soul. Jesus spoke of hell as a place where the flames are so hot that no amount of water can quench the unending thirst. Imagine that. The suffering so awful that you never, ever, ever get water to quench that thirst. In his soul, there was no relief. The wrath he faced is expressed in the language of intense thirst. Doesn't that make it overwhelming? When he was standing up in John's gospel and offering to sinners living water. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him, says Jesus, shall never thirst. But the water I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. See what's happened? He offers this water because he himself came to the place of being thirsty. Think about it. Once you're filled with living water, you never thirst again. You're completely satisfied. You can imagine what it will be like, dear listener. I can't even fathom it, to go to a place where where the fire is never quenched. Do you see what the cross is? That's what Jesus is enduring in his soul. So now you understand how wonderful the word comes. At the end of all of this, before Jesus dies, we read, "It is finished." When he had received the sour wine, he said, "It's finished," and bowing his head, he gave up the spirit. I love that last line because bowing was before his Father. He could only die once every last sin and every righteous demand of the law had been fulfilled for his sheep. It is finished. You struggle with your sin if you're a Christian today? Do you doubt God's love? Do you ever struggle and think, what I've done is so bad, I don't know that God could forgive me? The Lord is saying, look at Jesus on the cross. Hear him. This is my beloved son. Hear him. It's finished. Believe him. He was the lamb offered and God's wrath satisfied. You can't add to it. Believe him. Death was overcome. You can't make your life more pleasing than it already is if you're a believer before God. Believe it. You're loved by God. You never made it happen. You only receive all of this by faith, trusting him. That is the gospel. Those who don't believe, a horrid day is coming. Eternity, without Christ, without hope, thirsting forever. If you're a Christian today and you've believed, you say, well, what can I do to thank him? What language can you borrow to thank him? You know what you can do? You can now, not trying to earn your salvation, live a life that is pleasing to him. You can now, by the power of the Spirit, be thankful in your living, honoring his law out of gratitude, thanking him, saying, Lord, and living each day for his glory, loving him and loving those made in his image, your neighbor as yourself. Jesus died to free us from our sins so that we might be new creatures in him. May we trust in Jesus Christ. Abounding Grace Radio is, as always, is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We love and work hard to bring these radio broadcasts to you because we want the truth as it is in Jesus to be your guiding light, that you might know him in the power of his resurrection and glory and live in the newness of life. Join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. The website to visit is lindenurc.com. In fact, that'll be updated here shortly. More resources there for you to find out who we are and what we believe. Again, join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.